colorful, not entirely rational, your worst nightmare. These are some of the words used to describe George Singleton, and those words were spoken by his friends. Mr. Singleton's a writer, a raconteur who follows trends and countertrends and obsessions and odd characters in his adopted state of South Carolina. He's just published his first collection of short stories entitled These People Are Us. NPR's David Malpas went to see him as part of Morning Edition's series on emerging Southern artists and the places that inspire them.
George Singleton writes about the rural South without sentimentality or stereotype, but with plenty of sharp-witted humor. Singleton himself says he's just telling stories, not trying to write Southern.
Grits never show up in my stories. Pork rinds might, but not grits. Guns hardly, I don't think they show up a whole lot, or rebel flags don't, unless I'm kind of making fun of them, which will probably get a cross burned on my lawn for saying that.
In reality, no one would want to harm George Singleton. As friends say, he's a smartass, but with a good heart. He's a pretty normal-looking guy. His eyes are a bit squinty, except when he's wearing a pair of thick, black Buddy Holly-style glasses. His hands are usually occupied with cigarettes and beer, the lubricants to his storytelling. And he finds all the raw material he needs right at his doorstep in Dacresville, South Carolina. Singleton usually has at least a dozen dogs, and they are the first to greet visitors at his modest ranch-style house.
Shut up, dogs!
One of the few businesses anywhere around is a restaurant advertising buffet and boogie, but mostly it's pretty quiet out here, quiet enough to push Singleton's imagination into overdrive, as in these opening lines to one of his short stories.
This is the country in South Carolina. There is no garbage collector in my area. There's no cable TV this far out. Sometimes I see pterodactyls flying overhead. I think my closest neighbor owns some slaves. Down the road is a house full of Arena Football League players. That's how far from civilization I live.
Singleton writes about people who still work with their hands. One character thinks the best solution to depression is cleaning carburetors. Singleton is also attracted to the grotesque, writing about a woman who has intentionally scarred up her face as a protest against beauty. He's good at sniffing out a marriage that's about to turn sour. In one story, a husband accidentally tapes over the sonogram of his unborn baby with an episode of Bonanza, then makes a series of other poor but hilarious choices trying to hide the original mistake. In Singleton's world, romance emerges from the most unexpected places, such as a trip to the Jiffy Lube. In a story titled How I Met My Second Wife, a woman named Violet, on a work release program from jail, gets friendly with a guy named Mel at a recycling center.
I'm Mel, I said. Now, is that short for Melvin or is it short for Hormel? Violet asked. I've had a lot of Hormel in jail. I can't say I've had much Melvin. Yes, ma'am, Melvin. My daddy was a Melvin and I am too, I said. I'm Melvin Jr. That's nice, Mel, Violet said. Don't ever call me ma'am again, though. Violet stepped away from me and pulled her head for me to follow. Pull on up and I'll help you dump your problems. I'll let you take a look at what other people needed to lose, too.
Examining what others have discarded, whether it's things, people, or places, is a habit for George Singleton. On Wednesdays, you'll often find him milling around at one of the largest flea markets in the country, the Pickens County Flea Market. He's looking for inspiration amidst lava lamps, pottery pieces, knives, and alleged antiques.
Ma'am, you want that for $15, dated in 1864. $15 for the rod and reel. You ain't gonna be down in this perfect shape. Y'all better buy. I'm giving this stuff away. Sir, that's $40.
Many people would consider this stuff to be tawdry junk, but Singleton is not judgmental. He knows these things have meaning and can become obsessions. He's a collector of ashtrays and has more than 200 in his house. Singleton fits right into the crowd with his plastic grocery bag and a pocket full of change. Quarters are important in this type of shopping.
You bring quarters just because if you say, like, how much is that? And someone says, $2. And then you say, well, you take a dollar for it. And then you hand them a 20. I just think that's rude. You know, people think, golly, you tried to jip me down to a dollar and you got all this money on you.
Singleton worked that bit of etiquette into a story once, and he's always stealing bits of dialogue that capture a frame of mind.
One guy today I heard, he said, it's hot, isn't it? And I said, it is hot. And he said, I might have to dig a hole and sit in it for 3 months. And I went, okay, see you later. I'm sure that'll show up somewhere.
Singleton is in his early 40s and has been living in rural South Carolina since early childhood, but civilization is encroaching on his territory. New money professionals from Greenville and Spartanburg are building upscale houses in the Dacusville area next door to blue-collar bungalows and mobile home parks. Singleton talks about the change as if he's witnessing what should be a crime.
There doesn't seem to be any zoning laws. There's a big mobile home park down the road. I wouldn't be surprised to see a skyscraper show up next to a mobile home.
In the eyes of Fred Chappell, the poet laureate of North Carolina, George Singleton is living in the center of what's left of the rural South. And Chappell says that gives Singleton a rare perspective on the change that's sweeping across the landscape and the culture.
He's one of the very few people I know about who writes about what I call the slab burbs, the suburbs along the super slab highways that go through the South. And these are new places just springing up where a kind of a sophisticated American culture meets an old-fashioned country culture, and the clash can be heard for miles.
Fred Chappell cites Singleton's story Crawl Space as an example of the new tensions. It's about an encounter between a public relations executive who has recently moved to the country and is in need of a plumber to examine the pipes under his house after finding an armada of slugs in his bathroom. The fellow who shows up for the job arrives without any boots. That's just one of many concerns the executive has about the plumber named Stitt.
Stitt wasn't 4 feet tall. His head was the size of a continent. He combed his eyebrows up to make his forehead look less the size of a chalkboard. I looked down at Stitt's tiny feet. He wore kids' no-name brand tennis shoes. I thought, I have some condoms you can roll up your legs. I said, I got some old galoshes you can have. Stitt stared at me as if I'd spoken trigonometry.
Singleton likes to goad people in his fiction and in real life just to see if he can get a rise out of them. How people respond to personal insult tells you a lot about them, Singleton says. And as he sees it, some of the newest arrivals in his neighborhood, the ones in suits, don't roll with the punches as well as longtime residents of Dacusville, the textile workers, mechanics, and farmers.
I'm more afraid of people in suits, no lie, than I am a man wearing overalls around here. Way more afraid. And I have nothing really interesting to say. I'm sorry. Gee, Jennifer, I'm having a problem with the mortgage this month. How can we own? You know, I'm not going to write that story. I'm going to write about the guy who's sad because his chickens looked up at the rain and all died out in the field or whatever, and then tried to sell them.
There's no predicting whether Singleton's popularity will take off with the publication of his new book, These People Are Us, but the writer seems unconcerned. He says he earns enough to get by on teaching creative writing to high school students in South Carolina and selling occasional stories to Playboy, The Atlantic, and other magazines. No matter what, George Singleton plans to just keep writing and hanging out at flea markets for some of the best entertainment around. It's better, he says, than real work.
I hear writers say, isn't writing hard? And I think digging a ditch is hard, building a house is hard, picking up the pieces after the tornadoes knocked over your mobile home is hard. Writing's kind of easy. If it was that hard, no one would do it.
David Malpas, NPR News, Pickens, South Carolina.